gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, have we got some information to give to you? I mean, I'll tell you what, you think you know all about the 5G network, the Internet of Things, everything is connected. You think you know? No, I don't think so. Our next guests are really going to lay it all out for you in this wonderful program. I want to thank John, our producer, for all of his hard work lining up the guests and us mucking it up on this end, right? That's okay. No,
right.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. And a couple of announcements. Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino on with the George Norrie tonight, Coast to Coast AM. Tune in tonight if you're...
2 hours, I'll be in.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, so spread the word far and wide. Tim Alberino and Steve Quayle on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie tonight. A couple of hours there. It's good stuff, man. And if you didn't catch me live on InfoWars, I'm kind of pimping that out here. Definitely, you can see it off of InfoWars.com. Spend, I don't know, an hour and some minutes with Alex Jones today, talking about Comey, that situation there. Also, the murder of Seth Rich. And I do want to add to...
We're going to have more on that tomorrow in our first segment.
Yeah. And folks, you know, George Webb does a great piece on Seth Rich. As well, George Webb, WEBB, I mention him all the time. Follow his investigations on YouTube. I get emails saying, well, why don't you mention that? Yeah, I do. What more can I do? And he's been a guest on our show, and he'll be coming back as well, I'm sure, to talk about this, some of the stuff that he's found. And all of this, you know, the Awan brothers and such, if you're not familiar with that, it's all connected. And understand the infiltration of our Congress by Muslim Islamic operatives. It's all connected. I don't want to keep our guests waiting. Before you get to our guests, however, Minuteman Stove, have you gone to MinutemanStove.com? Have you gone there? Look, folks, it could very well get bad, whether it's an EMP, a sun flare,
whatever the disaster.
Cost, whatever. Yeah. Or if you just want to go camping with a super cool stove, Minuteman Stove is, they've got the best of the best rocket stoves on the planet. MinutemanStove.com. And I like the Minuteman Stoves because, you know what? Just a little bit of wood. From a practical standpoint, I can operate this without a problem. Although, you know, most people could. Eric the Tech and others look upon me with pity when it comes to stuff like this. The fire starters, great fire starters. I mean, wow, is all I got to say. And of course, they've got other products. They're all made in America for Americans by Americans. It's great. It's a great product. It really is. MinutemanStove.com. Go to visit MinutemanStove.com. And when you do order your Minuteman Stove, which you should, make sure you tell them you heard it on the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. All right, Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Yeah.
I just blanked.
We have two guests with us, Stephen Menking on theobjective.org and Chris Bacham, remnantradionetwork.com. That's remnantradionetwork.com. Steve, I'm going to toss it to you.
Well, thanks again, Joe, Doug, Eric, John, everyone at the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, and all of your families as well. I just want to go right to the Lord in prayer because we're going to need the fire of the Holy Spirit to do anything like what Edward Cage just did in the last segment. So, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. You say where two or three are gathered in your name, then you are here in the midst, Jesus. And so we thank you that you are the lifter up of our heads, that you are our salvation, our savior, our rock, and our stability in this time of great confusion and deception. Lord, speak through us, overshadow our weakness, be glorified in everything that we present. And Lord, bring a message for your people that is informative and exhorts them and encourages them to focus on you and to understand the times in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's get started right out of the gate. We have an hour, and we got a lot to cover in terms of technology. It's a very wide subject, particularly if we are going to bridge the gap with the Christian worldview and how Christians need to be approaching these kind of technological developments that are coming and are already here in some cases. So, because I'm a finance guy, I'm going to start out right away talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin tripped my $1,900 per coin price alert earlier this evening while the last guest was speaking. And so it's currently trading at all-time highs. And so before I ruffle anyone's feathers, there's a couple different things that we need to understand. Number one, if you're going to get involved in anything, whether it's Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, or anything else, you need to do your homework. And my exhortation to everyone is that when we talk about things like decision theory and opportunity cost and how when you make a decision, you're also choosing not to do anything else, you need to do the homework on where your assets are right now. So if your assets are in a bank, understand what that means. Do your homework in terms of history. But ultimately, you can't invest in something that you don't understand. So you have to do that. Otherwise, you're going to make the wrong decisions all the way through the process. It's easy to get into something. It's harder to get out at the right time. But ultimately, it's all about prayer. You know, we, in whatever expertise and training and experience we have such a small, finite, minuscule amount of insight onto all of these different things at such a broad level that we really need to be following the lead of the Holy Spirit and going to the Lord in prayer for everything. And I know sometimes it's tough for people who, you know, make a misstep. We do things that we know we shouldn't, and we don't do things that we know we should. That's normal. It's something that all of us deal with in this ongoing walk, in this ongoing sequence of perfection. I know I'm nowhere close, but I'm doing my best to follow the will of the Lord for my life as it's revealed on an ongoing basis by the Holy Spirit. So let's turn to Revelation real quick, because one of the things that I hear is that, well, Bitcoin or some other things are the mark of the beast. And so not all technology is associated with something like that concretely. Now, of course, don't believe me. We have to go right to Scripture and see what the Word of God says for itself. And to a certain extent, there's going to be some opacity because we're not totally sure of all of the exact details of how it's going to play out. But I think the theme here is going to be we need to avoid being technophilic and we need to avoid being technophobic. We need to do our homework and pray so that we can get the discernment through the Holy Spirit to follow up on everything that the Lord would have us to do to make the best use of technology and to stay away from things where we need to stay away from. So the Mark of the Beast passage is in Revelation 13, and it's verse 16. And it says, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And then verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the real question is, well, who is that he in that first verse? Well, if we go back and read a bunch of verses previously, in that context, this is the false prophet. It's the one who does great wonders and makes fire come down from heaven and deceives the people on earth because of these miracles. And so I don't know about anybody else, but I don't think that's happened yet. And so in the direct context in which we're in, I wouldn't ascribe Bitcoin as mark of the beast status unless, you know, I suppose in the future there's some way for these systems to merge, and it definitely has some of those attributes about controlling the financial mechanisms. And so we always need to be treating these things with a great deal of gravity and seeking the Lord on them as well. But even though these specific criteria might not be met, it doesn't mean that something similar or something could come about as a result of this ongoing technology. But as far as I'm concerned, this technology in terms of cryptocurrencies is going to be one of the best ways to recapitalize the entire financial system in terms of isolating and getting rid of the big banking structure. And so that, by way of introduction, it's a really important topic. Do your homework on it. Watch some videos. There are some really good outlines of how the tech works. It's fancy math, and it's really cool if you can get your teeth into it. But long story short, don't invest in anything you don't understand, and go to God first for guidance before you make any decision, let alone something of a financial import. And, you know, Chris, I'll pass the mic over to you. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, this is Bitcoin 101, but it gets a lot deeper. I've had a chance to look at it myself. And when we look at what's going on in the world with the technology, the technocracy, and Bitcoin is certainly going to play a part in that. You know, we're being studied into oblivion, you know, through our life, through our behavior, or even gaming. And technology has been both the great equalizer and the great divider. And it could ultimately be the great eliminator at this pace. You know, we look at the paradox we're presented with. For years, many have argued that it makes us dumber. And realistically, if you look at the human race as test cases in a laboratory, then that makes sense. Lab animals don't develop like their counterparts in the wild. The technology giants, as well as our governments, are using this making humans better sales pitch to draw interest into the possibilities. And the problem with that is it's kind of akin to selling a moon landing for funding that will get them there while it leaves the rest of us in low orbit. And so we're facing a number of challenges here as Christians and just as citizens in this country to understand where this is all going. And right now, if you look at one of the big advantages that is shared among tech companies moving forward, which is artificial intelligence, or we'll just call it AI from here on out, China seems to be leading the way in many of those areas, and that's a communist nation by any dictum. So, you know, behind every possibility sits a master player, and that player is always ready to make it work to their advantage. And you can bet that while we're gearing up and getting better with these technologies, the claws of this global cabal are going to sink deeper into our psyches, not only to help us in the short run, but to extract what's left for their own upgrades and ensure that the little that remains in our arsenal to fight back is removed. So you just have to listen to what some of these things are saying out here. I know that you have the folks, the good folks from Technocracy News come by every once in a while or share the waves with you. And these guys do a fantastic job of keeping their hand on the pulse. And the problem that we're facing is that as this is pushed forward on our population, we're also facing the idea that if you don't assume this new reality, then you're going to become essentially like a flip phone to the human race. And this is a very scary and costly decision that we have to choose from. And it'll cause, essentially, it could cause divides that are being forced, you know, like we have traditionally these old racial divides that we're trying to heal from. I think your last guest is a beacon of hope that we can get through that type of stuff. But these ideologies with this new human upgrading that we're essentially looking at right now are going to divide us once again. And I fear that it's going to wipe out much of the human population just due to the irrelevance of people that don't have the upgrades, can't afford them, or refuse to take them on.
And Chris, what you're talking about is incredibly important, and even if there isn't this kind of wholesale elimination or depopulation, and that appears to be the agenda for different factions and perhaps an overriding one in terms of like the split between human and post-human, things that have been talked about for going as far back in philosophy as 150 years. But it's worth noting, because you pointed out the flip phones and their obsolescence. You know, I had a flip phone until 2010, and it was only after, you know, I joined the investment banking group in the technology division at Morgan Stanley that it was kind of unacceptable for me not to have a smartphone at that point. That's not a good look from a professional status. But that was less than a decade ago, and we can make a joke about that, and everybody can understand it. And what that really underscores that I think people understand Moore's law of the exponential increase in computing power, but maybe a certain aspect of that hasn't been grasped. And that's probably because, generally speaking, on a historical basis, we tended to live in linear fashions. You know, if there's progress, it's relatively slow over the course of a period of time, so that in a lifetime, you know, and prior to a couple centuries ago, you know, dating back to the flood or however far back you want to go in the modern human civilization timescale, there wasn't an awful lot of change. There would be distinguishing characteristics depending on where you are, what civilization, what society, what style of governance, and the rest of it. But it wasn't until the Industrial Revolution and then the Technological Revolution where this exponential part really started going skyward at an impressive rate. And so this really is important for us to understand, because we've gotten used to a faster pace of change, but that pace of change is always going to be increasing in and of itself. And so when we're talking about forecasts for what things are going to look like in 5 and 10 years, we have to do the kind of research and investigation that some people are doing, like the folks over at True News or at the Internet of Things conference right now. So looking at what is being presented now, and it's no longer taking any real leaps of extrapolation to see a totally transformed economy and a totally transformed society, where you were talking about robot rights and everything else like that, like let alone the problems that we have now. I mean, you either see visions of utopia or dystopia, and it's hard to see something kind of in between, but, you know, we usually do end up in a more moderate position in terms of things that can be actualized. But my main point here, and you know, why does this matter? It's because we're not good at predicting the future. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly can't. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be in a one bedroom apartment right now. I would have done different things in the financial game. So understanding that we don't have that predictive ability, we have to do the best that we can, but always acknowledge that we may not be able to have perfect forecasting apart from the Lord revealing something to us. And it seems oftentimes when people are, you know, get visions about what's to come in the future, that's often nondescript in terms of the timing. So there's always this unknown element, and that requires constant vigilance. And that is exhausting. It's absolutely tiring to keep up with everything in the news that's happening now, let alone what might be happening in 6 months or 6 years. So it's important, and it's really important because we're talking about things that will impact our lives in the near future, near being a decade. And it certainly will impact the lives of our children. In fact, we may see a world so transformed that we wouldn't be able to recognize it. And so, you know, Chris, can you help me out here? Like, what are the primary mechanisms? We're sort of talking in broader brushstrokes, but is there anything specific on your radar that you want to point out as something that people need to be focused on?
I do. I think the philosophical aspect of it is important, though, and I'm going to get into some of the details and the specifics for you so that folks understand what's going on out here if they don't already. A lot of folks do, but you're right. Keeping up with the content, especially with my podcast and your podcast and what these guys are doing here, is a true challenge to stay relevant out here and keep people up to date. I think the problem with technocracy isn't the idea of using science and technology to improve our lives. I think we can all agree that that's a good thing. It's the idea of selling us the improvement while the old forces of elitism, socialism, feudalism, and war profiteering play out to the advantage of a few. If the goal is to become godlike, and I believe that the people that are involved in, some of the people that are involved in nanotechnology, AI, and bioengineering, that's the ultimate goal for some of these people, especially the profiteers. In essence, what we did in the 20th century to nature to make the planet more habitable for mankind will now be done to the rest of mankind to make it more habitable for Godkind. And Earth will become essentially a cosmic country club. It'll only be fit for the people with the right hardware and software and the means to act as gods on this Earth. And they can't create daylight, but by means of getting rid of existing knowledge of both God and history, they'll be able to take the mantle of perception for everyone and everything they create thereafter. And that's my greater concern here. Even the people that are proposing all of this right now, there was an author, Harari, who wrote a recent book about the phenomenon of what's going on in AI, and he noted that he compared it to something we've been doing for years, and that is essentially that religion, in a sense, is a virtual reality game. There's a set of, he called it arbitrary laws. He said you have to gain points, and if you gain enough points in this life, you get to go to the next level, and God has been written off by these people, and that's my concern, and that should help you understand where your belief in God and religious freedom is headed under their control. I had a person this weekend give me the line that God is BS, straight to my face, and I made the argument to this person. I said, just because you figure out how to manipulate the world around you in no way justifies the denial of God. You know, and I'll tell the atheist to sit down on this one because I believe they're some of the most unscientific people on Earth. They arbitrarily deny God without evidence to prove or disprove him in what could be argued as your own myth and then swear by it with your belief in science. And that's not very scientific in my opinion. It's science is incapable at this point of providing evidence to the contrary. So they lean on the Bible timeline to make the argument. And this is what we're being bombarded with constantly to justify the push for technology and science. And if science defined time in a way that we can understand it for the purposes of study and definition, it doesn't mean we have an understanding of time in any ethereal or godly sense. You can't invent the terms of the argument, then argue that science supports it with no bias, because it can't when using the units that they invented for measurement. So these are the things that we're facing right now as we move forward and as we get into some of the details of the science behind this with the nanotechnology, the bioengineering, and the other parts of science that are important, including AI, which is the big one right now, I think that the audience will understand just how critical what Stephen is saying is in terms of deciphering what it means for us as Christians.
Yeah, you're right on there, Chris. And just to piggyback on that point a little bit, you know, the people who would say something like that, I guarantee if you ask them a list of sort of five simple questions, all right, you know, how do we calculate, how does standard cosmology calculate the age of the universe and the speed of light, as well as some other key variables, then, you know, they couldn't explain it. It's just a robotic translation of ideology. Ideology in, and you can predict what people are going to say. If someone becomes entirely predictable in their conversation, then they're not actually thinking. They're just repeating. And so maybe to a certain extent, in a flippant way, the technological revolution is among us, and there are people who are walking around like robots and just responding to their programming. But, you know, if we're talking about this, these technological developments for better or for worse, it's worth asking ourselves the question, well, is this inevitable? Well, what's going to happen? Well, what could derail it? Well, I suppose if there's total nuclear war and everything is eliminated, that's going to put a stop to it. Or an EMP style cataclysm where the entire electrical infrastructure grid gets knocked off for a century. Yeah, that'll put it back a while. Or I suppose an anti-tech revolution among the people who say, you know, we're kicking that away, but we can't get people to rise against the blatant evils of things like abortion and everything else that's right in our face. So I wouldn't be expecting that, because people have been trained and inoculated to accept this kind of thing in a Brave New World kind of sense. And apart from that, we're talking about a sovereign move of God. But it's worth noting that God is using technology. He's using it right now. And so it's up to us to make sure that we are informed, watchful, paying attention to the things that really matter and calling it out, but at the same time doing everything in our power, and more importantly, the power that we can receive from the Holy Spirit, in order to play our positions and to make sure that we are doing everything we can to bear fruit for the kingdom of God and to give glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's worth noting, guys and brothers and sisters in Christ watching live and on archive, that the amount of people who are alive today is approximately equivalent to the amount of people who were alive in the entirety of human history previously. And even if that's not totally accurate, the idea is there was exponential growth in the population during the 20th century. And so we have an incredible harvest, a harvest that is probably making the apostles and the first disciples and the book of Acts church just salivate. You know, this is the cloud of witnesses that would, you know, they would relish being in the position that we're in to reach people with the gospel and to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that you can be reconciled to God, and that your sins can be forgiven, and that you can have eternal life, and you will have eternal, either you do have an eternity. There is life after death. It's just a question of, will you go into eternity with God or without Him? It's a simple question. It's the most important for all of us to answer, because before we get into untying and unpacking everything else, that's the starting point. That's the foundation. And if we're not standing on that, then this whirlwind of technology and politics and finance and everything else, or even just the day-to-day thing, happenstance of life. You get a medical bill. You have to make a trip to the emergency room. Something's going on at school. It's endless. It's endless in this world, but it's only the peace and joy of the Lord that the Holy Spirit can give us that will sustain us through this. So, you know, as we get ready to go out to break, we're going to cover a lot of specifics on the other side, Chris, but am I missing anything in terms of the big picture analysis, like how our attitude should be structured? You know, where should we be focused, do you think?
I think we just have to be aware of what's going on and how it can be used. There, obviously, we want to focus on the benefits of all of these technologies, but, you know, when you look at the most recent research, there was a study done with scientists at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, which is my alma mater, and the National Institutes of Health and Drug Abuse. I think it was the National Institute of Drug Abuse, but at any rate, they did a study together, and they were able to control which neurons in the brain fired off. And they were able to control this using a form of nanotechnology and pharmacology to do that. And that's really, to me, with my mind, that goes really past anything that I want to even consider. I know that we already do that with pharmacological agents, but at this point, the old adage, there's no such thing as a perfect crime, is starting to become irrelevant. because this does present a nearly perfect crime. Let's say that they combine these and then they want to affect your memory. They can change your memory, can have you forget certain things or remember something entirely different depending on how they interact. This is all AI and manipulated stuff that's going on with DARPA and these other agencies and organizations. And something like this could go airborne and affect a population for a short time or a longer time depending on the desired outcome. What if people in charge wanted you to forget a crime? What if they wanted to put you there and have you remember that you were there? So there's a lot of things that we need to think about as we move forward in manipulating our environment. We'll get into some of that, as we say, in the last 30 minutes of the show, the very specific details that outline the science that's going on. You mentioned Rick Wiles from True News. That's really important. Who owns your knowledge and who gets it when you die? These are things that are all being debated right now, as if they needed to debate this, but apparently, because there are holdout generations, I call them relic generations, then they have to focus on this. The millennials are already willing to give it up.
Absolutely. And Stephen, and you guys have done a fantastic job. We can just sign off and take our seats off and go upstairs and let you take care of it. Fantastic, very informative half hour. And we were just sitting here enjoying the content, and it's all very relevant to what we're dealing with today. And it's just it's great to see, you know, people getting on board, getting the information that you guys are sharing. Stephen Menking, Chris Bacom is our guest. Bacom is our guest. On theobjective.org is Stephen's website, and remnantradionetwork.com is Chris's website. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. There
shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said,
it's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's kit at www.changelessandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. At AmpMeans, you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Everybody's like this. You just gotta stand back. If you know what's good for you, you stand back and you listen, and you become educated. You get the information, and this is why I love these guys. They've got just a great presence and a great delivery. And you talk about doing their homework. Wow. Before we get back to our guests, PreciousTimber.com. You know, accredited investors are looking to protect their money. If you've got money in a pension system, normal pension, or if you've got money in the market, folks, please understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with just a really funky market. And our guest tonight, I mean, Steve Menking, he knows of which he speaks. But PreciousTimber.com, alternatives to what you are in today. Plus, this is a company, PreciousTimber.com. They appeal to accredited investors, long-term investments such as Coconuts Profits and Coconuts.com. But they're helping. This is a company that helps other people, that helps countries, that helps the disadvantaged, that goes in and builds schools, changes the complexion of communities. They have done so much for so many. Visit PreciousTimber.com. Whether it's coconuts, God bless you, whether it's coconuts or regardless of what it is, check them out. PreciousTimber.com. We're going to be hearing from Alex Wilson again here soon, I hope, to talk about their newest initiatives and what they've been doing for the people. PreciousTimber.com. And mention, you heard it on Hagman Report, because we get a $20 bill with a thank you on it. I'm kidding. But mention you heard it on HagmanReport.com. Let's turn it back over to our guest, Stephen Menking. Stephen, gonna toss it to you. Go ahead. Take over.
Thanks, Doug. Well, you're dismissed, you know, but feel free to jump in at any point if you have a particular question or something strikes you. It's important that we let the Holy Spirit lead, and if it's through us, great. If it's through you, even better. So I'm going to pass it over to Chris right away so that we can get into some of the specific aspects and themes and devices that we're talking about in terms of technology, what to pay attention to, and what's up ahead on the road in front of us. Chris?
Yeah, when we left the break, and thanks for doing that, Stephen. When we left the break, we were talking about who has the right to your data when you die, and I was indicating that the relic generation, I think of the relic generation as anyone that's roughly 40 years old or older, including myself, we hold on to this information where millennials are more likely to share it online, share through their pictures and other things. And so the corporate governance and these corporations are already beginning to have this discussion about taking this information because it's critical information to complete this web. As we talk about the global brain and we talk about this low orbiting satellite system where they're building these satellites to put them in the air and transmit at these really strong defense level, frequencies that, in my opinion, could harm people just based on what I've been reading. You know, this is something that we have to think about. Is they want to become godlike. They want to get as much information as they can and put it into their system. And you can bet that when this is all over, this is going to be used to harm people as well as help people. But I think the help is probably a sales pitch for the harm that's coming along. Some of the more specific technologies that come to mind that are current, not the ones that are on the horizon, but the current ones, are things like drone swarms. And there was a recent article on DARPA about these swarms and the rise of these swarm wars and these guys in the military competing. And my thought immediately goes to what they're planning in cities around the country, which is to erect buildings that essentially act as a bee's nest. And these drones will come to the bee's nest and you know, sit. And then when they're told to do any particular thing, they leave. Now, that sounds really great if you're, say, delivering a product to someone's house and they need it. But the real challenge here is when it becomes a herding mechanism to herd people, to scare them, when it becomes weaponized as a replacement for, you know, face-to-face dealings with law enforcement and other people like that. And these dangerous things are underway right now. And DARPA is all over the board. I mean, they're looking at so many different things that could affect how we live our lives. They're already decoding the decision-making abilities of mice by studying their brain activity. And this goal is to supercharge it. The goal here is to supercharge human brains in these complex military situations in order to give them extraordinary capabilities, more power that citizens really won't be able to stop. And Eisenhower warned us about this. The more time that passes, the more I think his genius was well beyond his time. They've taken it to another level where we're downloading skills. That's what we're working on now. And that is to increase our adaptability on the field, to train people faster, to get people to the point where they're better fighting machines, better performers, all this other stuff. But if you can't see the danger in this, there's a lot of benefits because we bypass the need for much of our education if they perfect the system. But the problem is those who have access and those who don't. And again, we go back to the first comment I made about us being technology being the great equalizer versus the great divider. Well, when you equalize everybody, at what level do you keep them equalized while the more important power is held up top for control? And this is really what we're facing with these dilemmas is, do you really believe that corporations and corporate governance and under especially what we're dealing with Soros and all these different people around the world, the cabal that we're dealing with globalism, do you really think these people are going to take care of us and do the ethical thing with when it comes to downloading skills straight to the brain?
Well, presumably not. It's obviously a little bit of a loaded question, but it doesn't take too much extra thought to imagine that the benefits and the rewards of introducing these kind of radically advanced technologies will be accrued to the people who have the power to accrue the rewards to themselves. And so this is all part of a system of manipulation that goes back to Babylon itself. And I'd recommend people get their hands on Paul McGuire's material in order to bridge that gap and see all of those different connections written out in a very clear, precise way. But, you know, Chris, I don't think people necessarily grasp where we are in terms of things like material science. We now have the ability to create materials that are one atom thick. If you've ever heard of graphene, then you know what I'm talking about. If not, look it up. Incredibly powerful stuff. Material that is stronger than steel and flexible and essentially invisible and camouflaged. And so if you can create something that's one atom thick, you can create something like a neural lace, which is essentially a web that will encapsulate your entire brain in this material. So yes, you can hypothetically and perhaps have actualized the ability to control thoughts and through a direct physical mechanism. You know, the universe that our Lord has created is just so immensely complex and powerful that there are things out there that we don't really understand, but that we're, you know, sort of grasping at, and we're still at the base level. The depth is so much more advanced than even we could understand. But in terms of how we approach the future, particularly as Christians, it's going to be trivially easy to imagine a scenario where some technology comes out and it has these supposed radical benefits for, you know, curing disease, extending lifespan, doing all these other things. And we notice that this could be part of, you know, one aspect of the great deception of the end times or something that can be turned to nefarious ends. And if we point that stuff out, we better be ready to be totally articulate in our understanding and our reasoning, because the other side is going to have all of the one-liners. What, you want kids to die? What, you like cancer? You know, what you don't want to live, like you're in favor of death. And it's like, well, no, you know, we're talking about a different kind of life, a real life that is only accessible through a direct relationship with God and through Jesus Christ. And so we in that situation that we can see. We can see it pretty clearly, maybe not bright as day, but we're right on that doorstep, and there's going to be division all over the place. And so being articulate and pointed on these sorts of things, that's not necessarily going to help us. I mean, if I can explain something in incredibly effuse terms and allow people to grasp the core of what's going on, they're still going to throw it away. It doesn't matter how articulate you are if you're not walking in the power of the Lord. And so that is the testimony that we can have. We need to be pressing into the Lord with a desperation that is not just focused on what's going on in the political and in the natural realm. That's incredibly important. Believe me, it totally is. It's something that I pay a great deal of attention to. But there are also things coming on the horizon that are even more mind-boggling and just strange. You know, talking about changes to DNA through the CRISPR-Cas9 technology that will allow for synthetic DNA creations and the entire mapping and recreation of the human genome. And there's all sorts of spiritual connotations there that I'll leave for the likes of Steve Quayle and Tom Horn and all of them to discuss, because I'm not quite as qualified in terms of my experience in the field. But what we can say is that these topics are mission critical. And I know that's overwhelming because there's so many different mission critical topics. Everywhere you look, it's like, this is existential, this is existential, this is a total disaster. If we don't stand up against this now, it's all over. And so it's so overwhelming that it can be difficult to step one step back and face all of that at once. But brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God, a powerful God. He has overcome this world, and he can do the impossible, and he will, and he wants to. Desperately, if we, his people, would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and repent, there's a reason why things aren't going the way that they should, and it's because we're not doing what we should, individually and collectively. So when we think about technology, maybe before we even think about the future, we should think about this. What do you use technology for? Is it to snipe at people on social media? Is it for pornography? What do you use technology for? If you took an itinerary of what you did with your computer, your phone, and your TV throughout the course of a week, and ask yourself, what proportion of that was glorifying to the Lord, directly or indirectly? What proportion of that was done according to the will of the Lord for your life, according to the leading of his Holy Spirit, and for the sake of his kingdom? And if there's a great deal of material, or even a little bit, any little vestige that wasn't for those purposes, that's all going to burn up. That's all going to burn up eventually. And so we need to be focused on the Lord first and foremost, and he and his Holy Spirit will give us the discernment to be able to pick apart all these nuances here, because it's just so overwhelming at times, and I can completely understand that. So, you know, Chris, what other overwhelming things should we be focused on here?
Well, I think keeping with the pace of what we're talking about, it's important to understand that we are facing a culture that is approaching at least a neuroses of being godlike and the desire to replace God. And that's what this ultimately feels like to me at this point, because they're not respecting our right to personal privacy. And we'll get into some of that here in just a second when we talk about downloading information to your brain. But we really have to focus on how we're going to allow these things to be used, because it's not just going to be like you plug yourself in and you download some information or upload some information. They're already working. I mean, this sounds so science fiction, I can't even believe I'm talking about it. They're already working on ways to alter your memory and your thinking without connecting you to anything. And this scares me. In fact, I think they've had some success in altering the brain's, the neurosignals inside of people's minds without ever touching them. And just that is, okay, I don't even know where to go with this at this point.
Do they do it by sound, or how do they do that without invasive?
I don't know what they're doing at this point. I don't know what the waves or the signals are behind that or how they're doing it. But that's a great question, and that will be saved and reserved for much research for the next episode. I can't wait to share what I find, because it's a struggle out here to find good information on some of these things, because it's just very well hidden. Now, did you have something you wanted to add?
No.
Well, I can I can jump in here to clarify just a little bit. It's really important for us to do some foundational homework about like what the universe is actually made up of. And so there's matter. There's this physical, you know, physical stuff. But we know from our elementary understanding of atoms and physics that, you know, most of what we see is empty space, and the act of seeing it itself actually brings it, it collapses it from probability into actuality. So without getting too far off the deep end here, the progression goes like this, at least in my mind. The first part is standard, that matter is in fact energy. This is E equals MC squared. So for anything that's matter, it's just energy. So there's essentially a field, and you know, there are many fields, but to simplify, there's a field, and then matter is essentially a slower version. Everything's moving at the speed of light, apparently, and then where things sort of slow down a little bit is where we actually engage with matter. So matter is this higher level construct, but underneath it is energy. And I think it's actually a profound conclusion that underneath energy itself, these are these wavelengths that have this disruptive ability in terms of resonance with matter itself, because that's what ultimately matter is made out of. Underneath that is energy. Energy is underneath matter. What's underneath energy, I think, in my view, is information. And that's this really fundamental sort of bizarre notion that comes into play when we're talking about quantum physics, where things literally blink in and out of, everything blinks in and out of existence at an untold rate of speed. And so the question is, when it disappears and then comes back in, like, where does it go in the meantime? And I think the more that we understand science, the more that we understand technology, here is just an incredible display of the mechanics potentially of God's sustaining and upholding power. Like, what says that when a quantum particle fluctuates out of existence that it has to come back in? I mean, I don't know. It's a probability, and yet they all continue at an untold number at an untold rate. And so many people have theorized from a digital physics perspective that, you know, we're living in a hologram or something like that. And to a certain extent, that's kind of fair. I mean, this is just a really high resolution picture of energy. The same way that a TV screen has resolution, the universe itself has a resolution. Of course, much more high definition than your average television screen these days by orders of magnitude. But if we're talking about how we can manipulate matter itself, well, if we understand waves, harmonics, and frequencies, and, you know, we've seen guests on your program, Doug and Joe, from all ends of the spectrum talking about this sort of idea, that frequency has the ability to change the constituent state of matter. And if you can capture that, if you can design a way to influence things directly, then essentially you can do whatever you want. This is one of these, like, godlike powers of creation and manipulation, even though, strictly speaking, it's not creation. It's only transformation of energy from one into another. Only God can create something out of nothing.
All right. So where do we go from here, guys? We covered a lot of ground.
That's a good question, Chris.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've got more.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so the latest example that we can look at is Elon Musk and his ownership of Neuralink. And I think he bought that company from someone else, but at any rate, you know, there was a quote out of an article from Medium.com, and it said, "I wouldn't be surprised if work is one day in the near future done strictly inside the mind. If we're all hooked up and we travel, have families, and live normal lives inside of a coma state, much like we've seen in science fiction movies, the Matrix is in fact where we're headed at this rate. Things will happen by willing it." And I think that's a tremendous statement of where this is headed. This technology could stretch into downloading books, movies, and other information. Goodbye schools, books, movies, theaters, and all other physical hardware for entertainment and learning. No more writing. Everything is just a thought away, including a roll of toilet paper if you happen to be out. Maybe you could will your bottom clean. I don't know. But at this point, this is real. Companies like Facebook, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, Netflix, they're all considering the applications for using this to deliver their services and for you to request things. And ironically, Elon Musk, who is, you know, putting on a great circus of technology first and digging underground under LA. The engineers think he's nuts, but, and I do too at this point, in an earthquake zone, but he appears to be playing both sides of the coin because he says we need to fight AI, yet he's embracing it. And what that tells me is there's at least a possibility that these globalists and these technocrats are setting themselves up to play both sides of the coin. One is to deliver the goods to humanity, and the other is to benefit from the military-industrial complex. Now, that's just speculation at this point, but that's certainly what it feels like. Now, we talked earlier about some of the ways that the world is going to connect this information, and Rick Wiles from True News and his crew there have done an outstanding job covering the global brain, as they call it, which is a network of low-orbiting satellites that are already going up. They're already under construction, and 5G is the fifth generation. It's well underway already. There's a lot of money that's being pushed in that direction, and it's going to replace all of the cellular networks that we currently enjoy, and it will do it at a much higher speed. The problem is that they're going to be using some really, really high frequency ranges, and those can range anywhere from let's say 6 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz, and those are what the Russians and Chinese use, their defense agencies, for weapons that use electromagnetic technology to induce the unpleasant burning sensations on the skin. So if these things are everywhere, then where are we going with this? And it's important to understand just how connected the world is going to be. Nanotechnology is already at a point where Swiss researchers have created a super thin layer film of sensor, essentially, that can go on a hair, can wrap around a hair on your head. And if you can imagine the applications for something like that in order to keep up with you, to track you, to harm you or anything else, I mean, literally somebody could walk in and put it on a hair on your head and you wouldn't know it. You'd be tracked. The barber could be doing it. It's just incredible what's going on, and it's incredibly scary. This 5G with the technology, probably there's people that are going to show up at my door at some point here soon for saying this, but it's going to come out at some point. This stuff is known to, these frequencies are known to cause harm, and they're really kind of untested on the public. But with this many satellites going up, there's not one square inch of Earth you're going to exist on that couldn't possibly affect you negatively in this type of space.
No, nowhere to hide, nowhere to run.
No, nowhere. That's no. Absolute.
And the end of days, I mean, this is prophetic biblically. All right.
Yeah, it's all tied in here, and it's important for us to understand that the root word behind technology is techne, which is witchcraft, essentially. And so, you know, any sufficiently advanced technology is essentially indistinguishable from magic. And so when we have things that are, you know, can wrap around a hair, this nanotechnology that's at a level that we can't perceive, then things are going to be happening that are beyond our capability to explain unless we understand that these capacities are here. And that would get us into things like Project Bluebeam and other sorts of manipulation. But even that might be outdated if they could just beam everything into your head, you know, rather than create an image up there. If they can alter memories, perceptions, and everything else, it's like the Mandela effect on steroids. And so, you know, you get into this situation where the bearing, the foothold on reality is lost. Like, what is real? If you spend 24 hours a day in virtual reality, how could it be said that would be distinct from the vision that was put forward in the movie The Matrix? It really is literally that. And you could, it's not just some crazy far off vision. It's not some nightmaric future that's outside of our reach. It's not something that we have to, or it's not something that we can just sort of wash our hands of and say, oh, well, that's for another time. I think we have the wrong impression, generally speaking, about where technology is going. I mean, we all thought we'd have flying cars, and maybe we'll have that soon. But, you know, the forecast, if that's really the measure of the future, we could have done that a while ago. It's just that it's not economical. And so nobody's going to bring it to the foreground. So the idea is, this progress, and by that I mean progression up the technological capability curve, is not going to stop. and maybe we'll hit that inflection point that's called the singularity, where everything changes. There's no way to go back, and there's no way to even conceptualize what it looks like on the other side. But we have to make our decisions in the here and now in terms of what we're going to do. And, well, what should we do? Well, it seems entirely abundantly clear that we're going to be in a position where we have to, you know, take pieces of this world, use it for the kingdom as best as we can, as the Holy Spirit leads and as the will of God allows. But we have to be extraordinarily perceptive, discerning, and watchful here. So, you know, what should we do in relation to what's going on in the world? Well, you know, if we go to James 4, starting at verse 7, it's a clear picture, but it's not entirely a happy one. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We're going to endure some crazy things, things that I was not prepared for, things that I'm still not prepared for. But it's only by the grace of God that we're going to have the discernment and the ability to navigate this time, but not just to navigate it, to be courageous in the face of it. You know, it didn't look pretty good for Paul in the midst of the storm where he was shipwrecked, but he had a word from the Lord, and that was enough to sustain him. And so it's the word of the Lord that is going to sustain us in these times against every wit, whim, scheme, plot, or plan of the enemy. And so I would just encourage all of our listeners, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to stand firm in the Lord, be bold in your faith, and press into him now. Get ready, because different times are coming, and if we're not prepared, it's going to be too overwhelming. It's going to be here too fast for us to regain our footing. We have to stand firm in the rock of Christ and do everything that we can to glorify his name.
Wow. You both brought your A game. A lot of information, some troubling, obviously, but in the end, we know what happens, and we do prevail, but we have to prevail through the Spirit. And it's not in the physical, it's in the spiritual. A formidable fight ahead of us. Stephen Minking, of course, and Chris Baucom. Again, Roger A. Game, thank you so much. You really handled this hour. We had to do very little, actually nothing, except be educated by your phenomenal research. Stephen, and both of you, lay out your websites, your shows, where people can get additional information.
Well, sure. Thanks again, Doug and Joe, for having us, and thanks to everyone else, and all glory to God for this incredible opportunity to be here with you again, sharing these words and these topics. You can stay up to date with everything that we're doing at ontheobjective.org. That's the flagship website. That's where all my amateur society materials are linked. That's where Chris and Ross's Remnant Radio Network is hosted, in addition to a couple other sites. But ontheobjective.org, that's where you go. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter. You'll get new updates and new content coming at you on a regular basis.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today, guys. This is wonderful. I enjoy coming on with you, and Stephen and I always enjoy going back and forth with one another. It's just great. You can find out more about what I do at homegrownprepper.com, as well as remnantradionetwork.com. That's where I share a network with Ross Powell, and we're working on some very exciting stuff coming up to help the remnant, the body of Christ here in the nation, as we face these challenges moving forward. And I would just say one last thing. If we struggle to deal with WannaCry, do we really want these people dealing with our brain security? And that's just the question I just need to ask the audience. No matter what you
pray, pray. It's time to pray. It's time
that's
to
right.
pray.
Fantastic. Both of you, thank you so much again, bringing your A game and the great information. God bless both of you. Thanks for everything you do, and thanks for really bringing it forward tonight on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, God bless you guys. Stay armored up. Love you.
Yeah. Amen.
That will do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We're going to have some interesting information and an update about Seth Rich, and that will be first thing on tomorrow's show. Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah, real quick. New information. Tune in.